Good morning. We went up to my sister's house for Thanksgiving up in Michigan, and my parents came down, and my brother and his family came down. My aunt and uncle came over, and it was just a big group of people. One of my daughters and her husband came over, and so we had a nice big Thanksgiving. And I took a little bit of joy in teasing my brother. My brother is the forgetful one of the bunch of us, and my wife would say, knowing me, that that's saying something. I brought him right in front of everybody his belt, which he had left at our house 2 years ago when we had Thanksgiving, and it's been at my house ever since. And I said, "Here, you left this at my house 2 years ago," and he kind of laughed. Everybody kind of got a laugh. I got up this morning, got ready to get dressed. Guess what I left at my sister's house? Yeah, I'm going to hear about that one. If you recall, last week when I was preaching, I had a toothache. I had been having a toothache go on for a pretty good while. It'd been really bothering me at that point for about 3 or 4 days. And I was hoping that it was just a passing sensitivity. I've had before where I've had a toothache and it would be really sensitive when I would drink like hot or cold liquids. And I actually went into the dentist that time and they did x-rays and said, "No, you don't even have any cavities. You just have a sensitivity. Sometimes our teeth will get this way." Well, I was kind of hoping it would be that, but you know, I kind of sort of knew it'd be a little bit more than that. So Monday I went in to the dentist just to have an examination and get x-rays and check it out. And after they checked me all out, the dentist came in, and he had some things to say to me. Now, here's what I was really hoping for. You know, I still had in the back of my mind that, oh, there's nothing wrong. It's just a sensitivity that you have. But I kind of knew it was more than that just from the level of pain I was in. But here's what I wanted to hear. What I wanted to hear was for the dentist to come in and say, "Mr. Greenlee, you've just got a mild cavity there that's just touching on a nerve. It's not a problem. We'll just do a quick little drill out and filling, and you'll be on your way in half an hour." That's what I wanted to hear. That ain't what I heard. He came out and he said, "Mr. Greenlee, there is a serious problem." He said, "You have a tooth which is nearly entirely decayed. You got a cavity in it, and it has rotted away nearly the entire tooth. And we have two options." I'm thinking, okay, this is the part where he says, "I just get a little, you know, drill out and filling." No, he said, "We're going to either have to completely drill out that tooth and do a complete root canal and then a crown, or that tooth has to come out because it's never going to get better. It's only going to get worse. And your pain is only going to be more and more drastic." I didn't want to hear either one of those things. I don't mind going to the dentist for a cleaning. Kathy hates going to the dentist. You know, when they go in with the tool and they just scrape away and take care of you that way. That's not a problem for me. Kathy hates that. I don't mind that because, you know, they put some weird stuff in your mouth that tastes kind of good. And you go home and you're running your tooth over your teeth and going, that feels all slick and just, I like that. I don't like the big stuff. I mean, I don't know anybody that does. Does anybody here just say, "Boy, I really want to go get a root canal"? Please raise your hand. We need to talk. Okay. I didn't want to hear those things. And I didn't want to have either one of those things. And you know what? I think it was actually kind of rude of my dentist to tell me that I had to have one of those two things done. I think he was just being a little bit rude and insensitive and not caring about my feelings. Because I think there was a third option. I really do. This third option had to do with something that my wife had suggested while I was just waiting to get in to see the dentist when I was dealing with pain, because the pain would come and go, and sometimes it would be pretty intense pain to where I couldn't really think straight. And she said, "Go in and get the chloraseptic that's for sore throats. And when it gets really bad, just spray that around the area on your tooth and it'll dull the pain a little bit." And so I had done that. You know what? That stuff is amazing. I would do a commercial for chloraseptic right now. You get a toothache and it's just killing you. I had it in my briefcase. I'd just pull that. I was working in my office trying to type away. It started aching bad. I just pull that thing out. Psst, 2 seconds. Gone. felt great. And I want to know why my dentist didn't just say, Kevin, you got a bottle of Chloraseptic, don't you? It takes the pain away, doesn't it? Just keep using the Chloraseptic. It's easy. It's cheap. It feels good. And the stuff even tastes pretty good. So why didn't my dentist just tell me, Kevin, just continue using the Chloraseptic? I want to know why that wasn't one of the choices that he gave me, this uncaring, insensitive, rude, mean-spirited dentist. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, 9 through 13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would not be welcome in a lot of churches if he were doing his ministry today. He would not be welcome because Jesus had a way of being blunt and to the point in a fashion that a lot of people today would probably say is just rude. A lot of people today would be saying that a person cannot just come right out and say things that Jesus said, and that he doesn't have much of a pastoral. Jesus is spending time with the people of his day and location who were considered to be the worst people around. And when the self-righteous religious people called him to task on that topic, he said something that probably shocked all of them. I'm not completely sure as to what they expected him to say when they thought they were calling him on the carpet on this. I don't know if they expected Jesus to defend these people and say, "Well, they're not really that bad. These people just have made some poor choices, and all they need is a little love and understanding to smooth their rough edges." I don't know if they expected him to admit that maybe he was doing things the wrong way. I don't know if they expected to admit that they were right, he'd gotten it all wrong. I'm pretty sure that what they didn't expect him to say was, "Yeah, they are awful sinners. And it's the awful sinners that I have come to save." Just like doctors are needed by the sick people, not the well people, the forgiver of sins is needed by sinful people. Sin isn't a very popular thing to talk about these days. It's said that it makes people feel uncomfortable, and that they might think that Christians are mean or rude by telling them that they have sin in their life, which is causing them pain. I don't know what they do in the churches that don't like to talk about sin. I don't know what they do when people come to them upset and hurting because of the sin in their life. I cannot tell you how many times in 19 years of ministry I've sat in my office or in someone's living room as they cried, telling me about how miserable they were, and usually it was caused by the sin in their life. I have to wonder if in these churches that don't like to talk about sin, if they just say some soothing words to make them feel better about their sin and then send them on their merry way. But I cannot imagine doing that. When a person comes to you for care, and there's something which is causing them pain and anguish, and is only going to continue to cause them worse pain and anguish into the eternal, I think it would be irresponsible and not to tell them what the problem is, how to take care of it. Jesus didn't come into the world to make people feel good or be comfortable about where they are right now. Pardon. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. It didn't say that Jesus would save people from having their and then pat them on the back and leave them in the situation in which he found them. It says that Jesus came into the world to save people from their sin. You can't save people from their sin. Sin isn't something we have. If people's sin really isn't a big issue, I cannot figure out the reason that Jesus bothered to show up in a manger. It wasn't to teach us to work and play well with others. As Jesus was getting ready to leave the world after he had risen from the dead, he told the apostles that the Holy Spirit was going to come and sort of pick up where he was leaving off as far as sin goes. He had spent 3 years teaching people that they needed to leave their sin, and he had done the really hard part of dying on the cross to provide that way for them to escape from their sin. And now the Holy Spirit was going to come and take over the task. Turn with me to John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. John 16, 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the rule of this world is judged. Did you catch those three things that the Holy Spirit was to convict the world about? Sin. Excuse me. Somebody have a cough drop? You're going to give me a dog bone. I know you are. I was a little afraid for it. Thank you so much. Sorry. Back on task. He came. The Holy Spirit was going to come concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, because they do not believe in righteousness, because he was going to the Father, and judgment, because the rule of this world, Satan, is judged. In the KJG version, that's the Kevin John Greenlee version, it would translate something like this. You better start believing in Jesus because your sin has put you in a bind. If you want to obtain righteousness and go to heaven to be with God like Jesus did, and not to judgment with the devil, then you need to get your head around this concept. That may be a bit of a paraphrase. Peter and the other apostles didn't waste any time after Jesus had told them about this and the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came and he and they went right to work with the people that did not yet know Jesus. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 verses 37 through 41. Peter preaches just an absolutely in-your-face, rude, mean-spirited sermon. At least that's how a lot of people would look at it. But he tells them they have done terrible thing. And it picks up right there. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Guess what? Peter preached a hard-hitting sermon about sin. And some of those people who heard it probably were offended. It says, those who, his word. That tells me that some of the people did not, the word was spoken that day. But others were not offended. They realized that it really did apply to them. It hurt to hear, but it applied to them. And they said, brothers, what shall we do? They responded, and they took care of thee. When Paul was being commissioned as an apostle by Jesus, he was given a very specific charge. That charge did not include worrying about whether talking about sin would hurt people's feelings or make them feel uncomfortable. It did include some other thing. Turn with me to Acts 26, verses 15 through 8. This is Paul talking. It says, And I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to anoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles." Never trust a computer. It cut off in mid-passage. "Please stand by. We're having technical difficulty." It is. "To whom I am sending you, to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Thank you for the backup. Could there be a more loving thing? Send a person. "I am sending you to open their eyes, so they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith." Think about that. If Paul had not gone and talked with people about the sinner lie, they would have remained with their eyes closed, blind to their own sin, and in the darkness that enveloped. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, faithful, just, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us." In the end, I knew that the dentist was telling me. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to have to make those hard choices. I didn't want to go through pain. But the idea that I would simply mask the pain and carry on as if nothing were wrong would be stupid. It would be silly. In the end, I would end up with far worse pain and far greater problem. I went in the next day and had the pain, the problem, the rot, and the decay removed from me. And guess what? It wasn't any fun at all. I didn't like it sitting in a chair. It was an awful afternoon. I know that I'm kind of a wimp. I know that in comparison to the things that some of the people in this room have gone through, a problematic tooth extraction is really pretty blasé. But from my point of view, it hurt. For a lot of people, the sin in their lives may be fairly blasé in comparison to what some others have done. For most people, however, the process of having the sins in their lives removed seems like a fairly painful experience. The only reason it's painful is because it's something we have to face head on and admit that it is really there, and it does really need taken care of. The sin, the rot, the decay in our lives is not just going to go away on its own. All it will do is get worse and cause us far bigger problems down the road, eternal problem. We can't be afraid as Christians to talk with people about sin, because sin is what is causing people their pain, and sin is what is going to destroy people in the end. We have to be willing to address that issue. However, I want to point something out. The dentist didn't come into the room and say to me, "Geez, Mr. Greenlee, you absolutely stink at dental hygiene. You're terrible. What, do you never brush your teeth? Do you never floss? Do you eat candy all day long? You're an awful person as far as taking care of your teeth goes. I don't even know if you even deserve to have your tooth fixed." He didn't do any of that, which is a good thing, because he probably would have freaked me out pretty bad. And we don't address the sin in people's lives that way either. We address the sin in people's lives the way the dentist addressed the rot and decay in my tooth. He did it gently and caring about me, but honest, straightforward, saying, there is a serious problem, but thankfully there's a solution to the problem. But I had to first get my head wrapped around admitting that the problem was really, and that's how we need to address people, the sin in their lives. Hopefully, when someone talked to you and you first had the sin in your life addressed, they did it in a way that was caring, but honest and straightforward. And that is how we need to do it when we talk to other people. There is a serious problem, but there is also a great physician who knows how to fix it. All we have to do is admit ourselves to him, admit that we have that sin in our lives, repent of that sin, accept his forgiveness, and be buried with him in Christian baptism, rising again. And that's a whole lot easier than having drills and needles and all kinds of stuff stuck in your face. You have not addressed K in your life. Please let the great physician take it away. Please stand and sing.